Hey guys, special treat for you guys today on the podcast. I got my good buddy, Craig Ballantyne, back with another awesome interview with this man. You were on the show a couple months ago, but excited to have you back on because you've got a new book called The Perfect Week Formula. And I want to discuss some of the concepts in the book, why you wrote it, how it can help our listeners and viewers. And dude, like when it comes to productivity, discipline, structure, you're the guy. So let's talk about this. I'm excited to have you back, man.
Yeah, this is going to be so much fun, dude.
Totally. So you wrote the initial book was The Perfect Day Formula, right? Yeah. So how does...
That's the wrong book, man. I wrote the wrong book.
So was there a moment maybe in writing the book or after the book where you're like, you know what, this was good, but like really what I need to be writing is the week version of this? Or like what did that thought process look like?
Yeah. You know, you speak in front of a whole bunch of people about the book and you know, you get 30,000 people to buy the book and lots of Amazon reviews that question your knowledge and you hit your ego and you're like, oh, I didn't think of that. They're right. I didn't address this question. They're right. You know, and it's like, oh man, obviously there is 7 days in the week. And it's like, well, what do I do when I have the kids? What do I do on the weekend? What do I do in this situation? What do I do if this day's crazier than the other day? And so that led me to teaching about it. And then the very first time I taught the perfect week formula was at one of my workshops in London, England. And I remember throughout the entire day, I taught it about, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, really early. And I was sitting in the room with a guy who's the CEO of a company with 3,000 employees and then a bunch of business consultants and some online coaches and all this sort of stuff. And all day long, when a problem would come up, I would just point to the chart that I created, which is essentially, you know, one of the tools that people get in the book, the 7x7 grid, we call it. And they were like, yes, that is the answer. That is how I make time to go and create the new product. That is how I go and make time for the kids to be present because I'm struggling with that. And it just became this thing that I started teaching over and over again, refine the message. So anybody out there who's thinking about a book, you know, here's a side note and a side lesson is I taught that presentation 75 times. I taught it in front of real estate investors. I taught it in front of all my coaching clients. I taught it in front of personal trainers. And every time someone would, what about this? And then I would, you know, implement something and we'd come up with stories about it. So the book is really stories of people like yourself, like Vince, like, you know, a lot of the people that you had on this show, even, and small business owners and CEOs about how they use it in their life. It's not about me, where the perfect day formula was a little bit about more my routines. This is about actual people like you who use these rituals and routines. And that's what we put in the book. So that was, I mean, I think there's a few lessons in there for everybody putting together concepts, but also how you're going to take these concepts away is that I always say like, you know, social media and our first presentations, it's kind of like Chris Rock going down into the Comedy Cellar in New York City in front of 35 people on a Monday night at like 9:30. And people are like, what? And then, you know, he bombs a whole bunch of jokes and he goes, okay, those are not going in the Netflix special. And that's what I did 75 times in a row until I, you know, I came up with my own HBO special of, which is not as funny as Chris Rock, but.
In its own regard, it is.
Yeah, that's right. Totally. And definitely more valuable.
Yeah, totally. Just so you guys, just in case you missed our first episode together, I can't remember which one it was, but we'll make sure we link up to this in the show notes. Craig was one of my first mentors back in 2006, you and Bedros Koolian combined. And like, that was really the inflection point of my business. And since then, I mean, you've helped hundreds of entrepreneurs build high six, seven figure businesses. And you're not necessarily, I mean, you've built your own very successful fitness business, sold that. Now you run Early to Rise. And you're not just about tactics and marketing. Like you understand the obstacles and the roadblocks, which a lot of times, as you know, is just how people are wasting their time. And why just kind of cleaning some of that up can make all the difference, right?
Yeah, totally. Totally. It's really, there's so many leverage points in our day. And here's a great analogy for everybody listening, because, you know, you're the healthpreneur, you're teaching on, you know, nutritionists, all these people who are downloading like, hey, you know, to our clients in the fitness world and nutrition world, like, you need to understand why you're doing X at a certain time. Why are you going home and turning on Oprah and you eat three cookies before the healthy dinner that, you know, you're preparing, whether you got HelloFresh or whatever? Why do you do that? You haven't associated the cause of that and the effect of that. It's because you grew up going home every day after, you know, grade school and high school and your parents weren't home and you were like, you were lonely on the hungry, angry, lonely, tired scale. And you were lonely because you were just by yourself and the TV comforted you and the Oreos comforted you. And now you're still doing that at age 44 because, you know, you got kids at home and your husband's busy and you don't get to talk to adults. And so we do that as nutrition coaches, but we don't do that for ourselves. Like, why are you going on Facebook, Instagram, your email, your ClickBank stats, your this, that, or the other thing at 11:30 in the morning every single day? And you get out of that hours later, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And it's the same sort of thing. And now we need to eliminate those things. Because one of the things that I teach actually is, you know, everybody says, oh, Craig Ballantyne, world's most disciplined man, but you know, it came kind of my shtick. But I'm not a discipline like Jocko Willink, where you have to add all these things to your life. I'm a discipline through subtraction. So if we subtract all the temptations from your life and we don't try and make you any more disciplined, you will automatically become more disciplined, successful, and productive because, well, now you don't have 19 things to distract you. Mm-hmm. And it's very much like there's one other huge leverage point in your life aside from removing things, which is matching your energy levels and your hardest activity. You know, whether you call it deep, I call it deep. Most people are going through like, oh, I got to do this PowerPoint, this webinar. You know, I got to prepare for the presentation I'm doing in front of 100 people where I'm going to have a good close at the end to get people into my health and nutrition coaching program at, you know, at the whatever center. And they're like, I got to do that. But, you know, I'm going to check my email. I'm going to check my client thing. And they're doing that in the time of day when they're three times more productive, creative, and energetic. And they're losing that, or maybe they're doing emails or they're doing meetings or whatever it is, and they're not matching that. Now, if you matched your energy levels, your creative levels, your focus levels with the hardest activity, like putting together that script, you would get it done three times faster than trying to put it together at 9:30 at night when the kids have gone to bed and like, oh man, I got to get this done for tomorrow, and it becomes a sloppy mess. Mm-hmm. So those are the leverage points. Knowing yourself, much like we have people do a food journal in nutrition programs, a lot of people do. I've always believed in it. We have people do a time journal. Yep. It's like, why are you doing these things for better or for worse? And then we match the right things. And without you working more hours, and oftentimes with you working fewer hours, you get more done.
Yeah, totally. I was actually just in an episode on the podcast, I think last week about this. So I actually just finished doing a 2-week time journal, time study, 15-minute increments. And one of the things that I noticed was, just in the fact that you're recording or observing your behavior, you act in a better way. And it's the same thing with clients with the nutrition side, right? Like if you know you're taking a picture of your food, you're going to eat better food. And I think just that alone is worth doing this on a maybe a quarterly basis, just to get not only more self-aware of what's going on, but also to instill those better behaviors that you want to do more of. Because if we know that we're tracking our time, we're less likely to be okay, you know, first thing going to Facebook and spending an hour going through, you know, people's feeds and stuff.
I think you made a really, really great point there that a lot of people will overlook because, you know, you gave so much value so quickly, is doing it on a regular basis, whether, you know, and probably quarterly. I call it for lack of a better term, I call it doing a time enema. You need to do a time enema every quarter. And in addition to the time journal, I have this, what I call the billionaire time matrix, which I built off of. You know, I work with one billionaire and then studying a whole bunch of billionaires. And I have these four questions. And if you ask these four questions every quarter, you know, because everybody's bad habits slip back in, whether it's time stuff or eating stuff, they all, you know, in 90 days, you know, you're going to be pretty good, but they're going to slowly degrade like everything does. And so if you ask these four questions every quarter, you will get right back on track in addition to doing the which what you did was amazing. So everybody should model that. So you ask these four questions. The first question is, what do I hate doing? What do I hate doing in my business, personal life? What do I hate? And the thing is most of the times you're not actually able to eliminate all of the things you hate doing, but maybe you can reschedule them so they can be done at a different time of day. For example, with the exception of this podcast, Yuri, I hate doing calls in the morning. And in the morning, it's my magic time. I do my writing. I do my think in the morning. Usually by 9 o'clock, I've been up for several hours, so it's not that big of a deal. But I was doing sales calls in the morning when I first was getting some coaching stuff going, and I would be angry about it the night before. So think about when you hate doing something, you're not just losing the hour that you have on the schedule. You're losing, in most cases, anything that you do is actually costing you twice as much time. It's the preparation, the transition, and in this case, the mental energy you know, going to bed for, why did I schedule that call for 7 o'clock in the morning? Oh, I'm such an idiot. And I'm losing, like, I could be thinking better thoughts at that time. So what do you hate doing? Second question is, what should you stop doing? What should you stop doing? And this is not something you delegate to somebody in your business, to a VA or anybody. It's just like, if nobody did this in your business or in your personal life, then, you know, nothing would change. And, you know, you live downtown Toronto. You have lived downtown Toronto. You and I lived in the same building for a while. And we lived close to Little Portugal, right? And you go through Little Portugal and Little Italy, you know, God bless the beautiful people. But you'll see the old people out sweeping the sidewalk and pulling grass out of the cracks in the sidewalk, right? And you think, like, if you didn't do that, life would not change. And it's the same with our business. I've done over 325 podcast interviews ever since I released my first book. And I was doing it to sell more books, but I also got better as a speaker and storyteller and all that stuff. But then you reach a point where it's like, okay, I can do an hour podcast with somebody who has 50 listeners. I just got to stop doing this. I can't do this. Otherwise, I'm doing 8 hours of podcasts every single day and I'm not moving ahead on stuff. So if I stop doing that, my business isn't going to suffer because I'm not doing podcasts for 50 people and no one else can do it. So think about something in your life that should be stopped. And we've all got those things.
Yep,
now, totally. The third question is, what is not your job? What is not your job? I like to use this little analogy that everybody needs to become the Oprah of their business. Mm-hmm. And what that means is, imagine Oprah was running your coaching business. Oprah is you. And like, Oprah comes into the coaching business, you're like, what do you mean I'm doing my books and I'm doing the bookkeeping? What do you mean I'm editing my videos? What do you mean? Like, that's not how Oprah rolls. Oprah doesn't do that. And so the thing is, and I'm sure you know this stuff and you are coaching people on this all the time. And you see this and you're like, you weren't put here to do bookkeeping. You weren't put here to do this. You weren't put here to edit things. You weren't put here to film your own videos. You were put here to make a huge impact on people's lives, just like Oprah was put here. Oprah can't answer every single reader's emails. And when you get people to think like that, they go, okay, what would Oprah do if she was running my business? What is not Oprah's job? Well, she's not supposed to be doing it. Now it's easier for people to get their mind around other people need to do that. So this is where the delegation comes in.
Can I ask you a question there?
Yeah.
So one of the things I think a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with is knowing what to do at different stages in their business journey, mm-hmm. right? So they come online or they're starting their business or they're further ahead in their business and they're doing things they no longer should be doing, thinking they should do them, or they're starting out and they're thinking they should be doing things now that maybe make a lot more sense down the road. How do you give perspective and guidance to help people know what to focus on and when?
Great question. We go back to the brilliant exercise that you did, which is the time journal. So, mm-hmm. So Yuri's done his time journal and Yuri, you know, let's just for easy math, you know, Yuri makes $1 million a year. So $1 million a year. And for easy math, you work a lot. So you work 50 hours a week or 50 weeks a year and you work 40 hours a week, which I know you don't. But the reason why I say easy math is because if you take your annual income, like if you take somebody who's making $40,000 a year, and they work 2,000 hours in a year, then you know they make $20 an hour. So you would be worth $500 an hour if you were making $1 million a year and you were working 40 hours a week for 50 weeks. So everybody listening to this, they are, you know, let's say the average coach is making $100,000 a year. And so basically their time is $50 an hour. Hopefully mm-hmm. everybody's getting my math here. Now we know what your hourly worth is. So you should never be doing anything that you can hire somebody else to do for less than $50 an hour. But I changed something here. I push people really hard on this and I say, find your hourly worth and then double it.
Yep.
And then you cannot do anything. So for that $100,000 a year person, they can't do jobs that they could find somebody else to do for $100 an hour or less. And right now people are like, you know, oh my God, no, you know, they're going like their heads are exploding. Minds are blown here. Like I cannot possibly do that. Yes. You push yourself, you tighten your belt, you live broke a little bit in order to offload that stuff. And in 2 weeks, you know, you're gonna think, well, in 6 months, I might, no, in 2 weeks, you will be making more money. In 2 weeks, you will be working less and other people will be doing these things and your business will be more profitable because you've pushed yourself through. Again, this is like the Oprah mindset. So, you know, Yuri, if all that math was true, you know, Yuri, you wouldn't do anything that you could hire somebody else for under $1,000 an hour to do. And they, that, I blow those people. I think, okay, all of my coaching stuff and all my coaching sessions. And you know, you and I are in the same mastermind with Taki, the black belt thing, which is all pushing us to do that sort of stuff. So that's how we get people to think that way.
That's good. Are there any skills that everyone needs to spend the time developing? Like, we have a mutual friend of ours, Jason Capital, who's a big advocate of copy. I am as well. Is that like, do you find that there are just certain things that almost all entrepreneurs need to develop pseudo mastery around before they start moving out of that, like copy or aspects of marketing?
Yeah, 100%. You know, as soon as you started asking that question, my mind went to what Jason says all the time. Yeah. High income skills, which are selling, copy, and speaking.
Well, it's communication, pretty much.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. Persuasion is probably a better way of thinking. So, like, I don't want to learn sales. Oh, no, it's persuading.
Yeah.
Persuading. And if you become a great salesperson, you're going to be able to do better at getting your kids to brush their teeth at night. So just understand that. You're going to be better at getting your spouse, your partner, to go to the movie that you want to watch. Okay. So this this is not just like making money and asking people for the sale. This like makes you better at everything. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage people to do that. Now you're probably wondering, well, how do you get better at those things? And what's daily practice? It is, I like to say, one of the questions I always ask people when I'm, you know, talking to them about business is, what's the model business for you? You know, when you're starting a clothing company, what's the model business? You know, you have a nutrition coaching company, what's the model business? Okay, well, I really like how this person runs their business. Great, let's study them and model them and read their emails and watch how they do this, this, and this. And we can model that. And then also find somebody whose emails that you like that are maybe in the marketing world. Okay, model those, study those things. So learn how to do the writing, copywriting of long stuff and short stuff, and learn how to do the selling and whatever sales method you like to use. I'm huge of our mutual friend, Xander Fryer. I'm huge on his stuff. You know, I study Grant Cardone stuff. I study a little bit Dan Lok stuff. I like Xander's. And so we don't mix and match. I found that some people love to study sales and they're like, oh, I'm going to pull this bell for them. I'm like, okay, now you've created the Frankenstein to sales process, and it still wouldn't work just as well if you went all in on the one person. So I go all in on Xander's stuff, and then we just like, okay, all the other stuff sounds interesting, but I'm not going to actually implement.
Yeah, that's good advice.
And then the last thing I'll say is, you know, you've known me for a long time, and I used to be a dick and very poor in communicating and all that sort of stuff. And the doing the 300 podcasts actually made me a much better speaker, made me much better at communicating, much better at telling stories. It was one of the many things that allowed me to become better. And so I challenge everybody who's like scared of speaking or scared of making videos. I have done a couple of 30-day selfie video challenges for my followers on social media. And I thought, hey, you know, I'm just going to tell them exactly what to say for a 1-minute video every single day. And I had people who changed their mindsets, their lives, their confidence levels, very much like, you know, all the experts on here probably done some type of transformation contest, like run one in their business, physical transformation. And you see, or even just in the clients that you've worked with, when they've had a transformation, they don't change just physically. You can't change physically without having a mental transformation. It's the same thing with, you can't do 30 days of 1-minute videos and put them on the internet and not change up here. And it's a dramatic change. And Jason and I was on his podcast the other week, and we talked about how most people speak an average of 12 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to become a great speaker, you're not going to get good speaking 12 minutes a day. So we tell people, go and make a 10-minute video every day. You don't have to post it online, but you got to hold it up there. You got to talk for 10 minutes. And I have done all of those podcasts. And I think if you actually transcribe this show and counted the number of ums and ahs I have, that there would be very few, almost none, because I have learned through all of my speaking that if I don't know what to say next, then I can drag out my words. And this looks really good on camera. And it also, I've learned to tell more stories. And I also know my subject matter in such great detail. And by doing a whole lot of video, and you teach something and you go, well, that didn't come out right, and you become a better teacher. And so if you do daily practice of all of those things in 30 days, this is not like, hey, in 3 years, you might be good at something. No, in 30 days, you will be dramatically better and you will be so much more confident that it will change your life, not just your business, but it will change your relationship with your partner. It will change your relationship with your children. It will change your ability. If you're a single person, it will change your ability to go and start new relationships. And it is just boom. These things are not business skills. They are life skills.
Yeah, totally. And it's really simple. I think when you look at, well, how do I get better at anything? The magic formula is just kind of figure out what to do and then just do it consistently. And then if you've got some coaching or guidance, that's obviously helpful. But I think a lot of times, like, so many people are looking for the perfect output. And it's like, who cares about the perfect output? It's never perfect. Just do it consistently, as you mentioned, and it's impossible not to get better. Like, the first video will be worse than the 30th, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, and so, you know, you were talking about how do you get better at anything. I have this little teaching thing that I do. I call it the virtuous cycle. The virtuous cycle, it's really just four things, and it's all for us, and it's all for our clients too. So you can teach this to your clients. You can teach this to the people that work for you. How do you get better at anything? Well, first, at the top, imagine a little circle, right? You're going to do a little circle cycle here. At the top is your baseline. This is where you are right now. This is like somebody comes in and does a push-up, and we say, okay, you're going to do as many push-ups as you can, and they can do 10 before their form goes off. Okay, great. That's your baseline. That's you. And it's very much like when you do your first YouTube video. Okay, let's watch it. Okay. You start off strong. You don't tell very many stories. You're a little rigid and you don't have a strong call to action. Great. No problem. That's where you are right now. The next thing you do is you go and get expert advice. That's step two. So baseline, expert advice. Maybe you buy a YouTube course, or you go and hire Yuri or whatever it is, and you get some advice. Then you go and take action. You put the advice into action, into play. Very much like, okay, Mrs. Jones, here's what you're going to do. You're going to do these workouts 3 times a week. You're going to make sure that your elbows are in and your shoulder blades are together. And you're going to do, that's how you do your push-ups from now on. So come back in a bit. And you come back and you do the thing. And now you get expert feedback. Okay, so maybe Mrs. Jones will go and come back in for another workout. And okay, now she's doing 12 push-ups and they're better form. Perfect. Great. That's your new baseline. So you've sent the video to Yuri or the webinar to Yuri, and he's giving you feedback. And now you've got a new baseline. And then you just keep on going through it. And the more times you go through that cycle on anything in life, whether it's learning how to cook, learning how to salsa dance, learning how to do push-ups, learning how to do webinars, learning how to do coaching calls, the next thing you know, if you do this consistently over time, in a few months, you can become better than 95% of the world at something. In a year, you can be a world-class expert at it. And it's that simple.
Totally. Yeah. And I believe, like, now more than ever, it's a lot easier to be really good at something because everyone is mediocre, because they're just not willing to put in the time. They're looking for the, oh, this didn't work out after a couple of days, I'm not going to do this anymore. And if you just stay consistent with that at least 30-day type of training, again, as you said, you're better than 95% of people in your space.
Yeah. Can I add something to that? So a couple of years ago, I noticed, you know, it was like kind of my transition from fitness to coaching, and I'm doing everything, right? I'm doing the YouTubes and I'm doing Medium articles and I'm writing here and I'm just getting started on Instagram. And at the end of the year, I look back and okay, good year, good transition. But, you know, my friend, Ben, I can't remember his last name now. Ben, the guy who wrote Willpower Won't Work, really great guy. I met him through Joe Polish and Genius Network. Really great guy. And he only did Medium articles. And I'm like, well, why does he have such a greater following on Medium articles? And why does this, you know, Jason Capital, why is he, you know, just crushing me on YouTube? And why is Yuri's podcast getting more people than, oh, because that's their specialty. And so I made a theme for the next year, 2018, be the best at less rather than mediocre at more.
That's good. I like that.
And that was the year I went all in on Instagram, and an Instagram machine now, where I still get most of my clients through Instagram, through referrals, all the other stuff. They don't compare to Instagram, even with all the changes that have been made to Instagram, because I became the best at less rather than mediocre at more. So great point that you said there.
And you're a big fan of stoicism, which is kind of less is more. And that, I think, is demonstrated in how you live and in your business, but also really comes off the pages in the Perfect Week formula. And I think for anyone who is, well, first and foremost, guys, if you want the book, you can get it on Amazon, perfectlyformula.com.
Perfect Week Formula.
Perfect Week Formula. perfectweekformula.com. Grab the book, guys. It's a really good read. And one of the things that I really, there's two things I really enjoy about your approach to this, because everyone has different approaches to, you know, productivity and scheduling. But one of them is that you prioritize the most important things in life. It's like, if family time is the number one, that goes, that's the first big rock that goes into the jar, right?
Oh yeah.
Which I think is great. Second is your whole approach. And I think you talked about this in your first book, the whole approach of when you get up in the morning, don't spend an hour meditating, journaling, gratitude, all that kind of stuff, because you've lost the momentum. You've lost that juice to go right into your most important work. And I completely agree with you on this, because, you know, I've told our, you know, my clients and our listeners and viewers, like, I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning every single day and I get right into my work. It's like 3 hours. And if nothing else happened for the rest of the day, I've created 90 hours a month on my magic time. And if I, and I've done like workout first thing in the morning, meditate for 30 minutes in the morning, none of that really made a difference for me, but getting right into the most important work has been a game changer for me. So those are two things that I really, really like about your approach. And for those of you guys listening or watching, like, get the book. I mean, Craig knows what he's doing. Like, you know what you're doing. And I think what you've been able to help so many entrepreneurs do in business and personal life is really commendable. Let's talk about that morning routine for a second.
Yeah.
Why, what have you found? Like, why, I mean, you've worked with a lot of people and I'm sure you've seen similar, I guess, outcomes as what I just depicted, instead of spending an hour meditating and journaling 100%. And all that kind of stuff. What do you, I mean, what do you, what
I found, and I think one of the things that sparked this was a couple years ago, you might've met this girl through Bedros's World, but this, you know, really great, hardworking girl. She owns a couple fit body boot camps in America. She sent me a message at 7:30 in the morning. And she said, Craig, I've been up since 5 o'clock and I've done this, you know, yoga, gratitude journaling, free form journaling. I've watched a motivational video on YouTube. I've done interpretive dance. You know, it's 7:30 in the morning and I'm super stressed out because I haven't gotten anything done. And I'm like, yes, 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 that's exactly it. And here's the thing, like, if those things are important to you, if meditation is important to you, you will make time for it at another time of day. If reading the Bible is important to you, you will make time for it. You don't have to do it first thing in the morning. Now, listen, if you want to get up and do a 10-minute morning routine, get your mind centered, cool. But, you know, I'm a farm boy. I grew up on the farm. The first thing you do in the morning is you go out and feed the cows, because the cows don't take a day off eating. You go right to work, you know? And that was something that really stuck with me. And then our friend Sean Hadsell, who's a big wig in the online fitness courses and nutrition world, he had this hour of power, and everybody hears about Tony Robbins' hour of power and this, that, or the other thing. We see all these gurus with these morning routines. And instead of us critically thinking, is this the right morning routine for me? We go and think, okay, well, if Tony does this and Ed Milet does this and Sarah Blakely does this and Shanda Sumter does this and Yuri does this, then I need to do like all those things. And Tim Ferriss, I heard he does this. Then, okay, whoa. And all of a sudden it becomes like this comedy of a morning routine. And there's actually an article on Inc.com that says the 14 things that successful people do before breakfast. And if you add it up, it's a 4.5 hour morning routine that includes checking your email. And it's like ridiculous. So the last thing I'll say on that is, you go back to, there's a guy named Daniel Pink, and everybody's probably heard of his books. They might not recognize the name, but he has a new book out called When, the Scientific Research Behind When to Do Everything or something. And he says, in the morning, and you touched on this, Yuri, because you know this so well, in the morning, you have the greatest discipline, willpower, and intention.
Yep.
And if you're getting up, and I see a lot of people doing their to-do list first thing in the morning, I'm like, oh, wow, if you're doing your to-do list in the morning, you're already too late. It needs to be done the night before. Because if you're planning your day in your greatest willpower, discipline, intention, the juice is being lost. And so it needs to be get up. And there's a few people whose minds don't function as well in the morning, but that's very small, like, you know, 10 to 20% a little bit later. But for 80% of people, you get up, do that hard work first. You eat that frog, as Mark Twain said. And if you have two frogs, you eat the biggest frog first, the hardest thing, and you've won the day. Even if you only get 30 minutes done on it. Heck, even if you only get 15 minutes done on it. Because when I was a broke, struggling personal trainer back in 2002, I didn't want to be a broke, struggling personal trainer. I want to have an online business. And so I got up at 4:30 in the morning, which was super early for a 25 or 7-year-old or whatever it was at the time. And I worked 15 minutes every single morning And then I had to shower and grab the bus. And I lived out in High Park in Toronto, all the way downtown to Rosedale, where, you know, to train the CEOs who want to train at 6 a.m. Never understood why they want to train so early until I realized that's the only time they had a chance to train. And I would work 15 minutes, and 15 minutes a day, 6 days a week, was 72 hours in a year. And in 18 months, I was able to build a six-figure online business and stop being a personal trainer. And so 15 minutes at a time makes a huge difference. So if somebody is doing that morning routine right now and is resistant to what I'm saying, well, make that shift. Just do 15 minutes. Just give me 15 minutes in the morning. Go down to your kitchen table with pen and paper and nothing else and sit there and work on your biggest problem or your biggest opportunity in life. If you have a bit of credit card debt, if you spend 15 minutes a day, 6 days a week working on how to get out of it, you'll get out of it faster. And so back to Sean, Sean had the hour of power, but he wanted to do copywriting and he wasn't getting to his copywriting till 10 in the morning, do hour of power, go to the gym, all this thing. Finally, he's sitting down to work at 10 o'clock in the morning, and but he knows his team, who's on the same time zone, wants a piece of him, and he can never focus on copywriting. So I'm like, Sean, change it. He's like, no, I don't want to change it. And I was like, of course you don't want to change it. Change it. And so it became copywriting first thing, team meetings, hour of power, gym. And he's like, you're right. And I'm like, I know, I'm 99% of the time I am.
I'm always right.
So there you go. So everybody who's resisting this, who's resisting Yuri and I understand that, you know, our clients are great, right? They're so into the health. They're so into taking care of themselves and the self-care. Trust us. Just trust us.
Yeah. It's a game changer. I think for most entrepreneurs, at least, you know, in my life, my experience, I feel better about myself when I accomplish important things. 100%. And I think that sense of accomplishment first thing in the morning, it does so much for your confidence, for how you approach your days. Also, I've got four kids, and if my day starts with them going crazy, that's not a good start to my day. So if I'm getting up earlier and it's on my terms, I'm being proactive, it makes a huge difference. So if you've got kids and you're not waking up before them, you're already behind the eight ball in a big way. And then the final thing I'll say is, our mutual friend Vince had his 40th birthday last week. I went over and I didn't realize it was a wine tasting thing.
Right,
I was like, that. I told Amy, I'm like, yeah, I'll be home by 9, no big deal. And I'm sitting there, it's like 9:30, 10 o'clock, couple tastes of wine. I'm like, oh my, how many more do we have to go here? And I'm thinking, I get up at 4 and I left early and I only had maybe half the wine because I knew I would get so much more joy out of waking up at 4 and having my kind of quiet magic time.
Yeah.
Than staying up till midnight, you know, drinking wine. And so 100%. These are just, I think, the shifts that happen as you do this and as you see the reward of what happens when you have this type of routine. And I think, guys, it's like, it's a game changer. If you did nothing else but this, just this, like, it would change everything for you.
Yeah. And so last thing I just want to say quickly goes back to the first book, actually, where I say structure equals freedom. And so many people are resisting this. Oh, it sounds so like hardcore. And hey, listen, like, are you still doing the Australia thing where you're taking off for a few months?
Yeah, January 1st.
Right. So the guy who gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning for 3 hours gets to take off to Australia and live his dream life. And the people who don't, who are like, oh, I'm not going to miss out on the next round of wine tasting and I'm going to sleep in on the day. They're the ones who are like, you know, nothing's going right for me sort of thing. Hey, listen, like life is sacrifices and you don't, I always think of Michael Phelps. Everybody wants the 28 gold medals, but nobody wants to put the 8 hours in the pool. Mm-hmm. And you know, It's your life, your decisions, you make those choices. But this book here is to help you build your business around your life and not your life around your business. Stop sacrificing your life for your business by making a few of the right choices to leverage your time.
Yeah. Guys, get the book, perfectweekformula.com. I got that right?
Yeah.
All right, there we go. Grab it there or on Amazon. Really good stuff. Craig, dude, thank you so much for being with us, for sharing your wisdom once again. I'm wishing you all the success with the book. And guys, if you're listening or watching, you got to get it. If not, I'm going to find you and I'll take care of you. Craig, thanks so much for your time, buddy.
No problem. I guess I'll see you tomorrow night for dinner.
It's true. Yeah. There we go.
Awesome.